Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
Hey, everybody.
Brianna, I hope you recorded that as our intro. That's great.
I don't know if they got to hear that or not, but what a beautiful experience.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Brianna, what does 1 Peter 3:15 say?
It says, always be ready to give an account for the hope that God has put in you, placed in you. I think so. God has given you.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have it written down.
Okay, put it up on your phone. You got a chunk of it.
Okay, I'm pulling it up. Unless you know it by heart.
He does.
But it wasn't fair for me to do that to you.
I'm asking ChatGPT.
They might get it right.
He'll give it to me. Oh, thank you. It says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect.
And love. Yeah, I love Thanks, that gentleness and respect. I remember when we had Dan Dealing on, our theologian, our apologist. He needs to apologize, that's for sure. But gentleness and respect was his whole focus on that. And it was really cool. But when we had Mark Hoffman on in the very first year, we asked him, talk about that secret life with God, sanctifying Jesus as Lord of your life, the very beginning. And I love that version that you just quoted. But that's the thing that we were talking about. Come back to that secret life with God and get that one right. Don't worry about all the works.
Yeah.
Do, absolutely do the things that bring you back into alignment and that fullness of relationship, that you were the one that walked away. You were the one that drifted away. He didn't, like we were saying. So we talked about drifting and we talked about recognizing it. Yeah, but recognizing it first, right?
Yep.
So we sat there, we recognized it. Now everybody who's listening has already recognized it. Done. Everything's there. And the next one's returning.
Yeah.
Now, this is a little bit more. If you're listening to this episode and you didn't listen to the first two, just hang up. Go back. Go back to it. Because we're talking about reigniting.
Just hang up.
Yeah. You'll get a dial tone. Do they still have dial tones?
Yeah. They do?
Yeah.
They have dial tones?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on what kind of phone you use. If you're using an iPhone, it just goes beep, beep, and then it hangs up.
That's right.
Voice over IP. Your desk phone has.
Okay, your desk phone does. Okay, I'm glad. All those technical questions. So, you're going back to that secret life with God. You're doing it because you're going to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. In the season that we're in, I don't know if everybody's experiencing this, but we've talked about it for a few weeks now. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Hundreds of more people are coming
Never
to our church.
Never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking legit questions. And they are
questions that you usually have to set people up and guide them into a place where they get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but they just got it
they're
right
just there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The Lord drawing thousands of people back to himself.
Yeah.
And reigniting the boldness within people that would say that they're like Christians and love the Lord.
I think that's the biggest, oh my goodness.
I see both sides of the boldness, and it was kind of cool. We talked with the Unyielding guys a few weeks ago, and that boldness and being able to really speak the truth and not going, well, I don't know if I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. It's not a time for that.
Yep.
But when the apostles said, give us boldness, I think boldness in preaching the word for sure in fullness of truth, but boldly loving.
Yeah.
Loving these new people that are coming back. I remember when there was a time back in the 70s at Faith Chapel, I was at another church called Trinity, and Charlie Gregg was the pastor, and he was saying, hey, come as you are. And we're talking during the Jesus movement. We're talking Lonnie Frisbee. We're talking about stinky, barefoot people with long hair coming back with genuine fervor, and it was messy. And we're in a season right now where there's some messiness. Get ready for it, because here it comes, here it is. And part of that is, okay, don't go back to your what or your how. Don't tell me about your techniques. Don't tell me all the things you're doing. Go back to your why. Go back to your why. And I think that's the main thing about reigniting.
Yep.
We need to talk about our why.
That was a great intro.
Now, what I want to know is, what's your why? Sacrificially loving people can be very, very inconvenient.
True.
How many of us have had the 3 a.m. phone calls?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
And I've got a good friend that I hang out with who spit in Mark Hoffman's face. It was inconvenient love.
Yeah.
What would be the why that would get you to still love inconveniently?
Yeah. Well, I do youth ministry, which I think is the poster child for loving and conveniently.
Yeah.
And I remember the season that I did junior high specifically, I had a pretty difficult group that required a lot of verbal discipline all the time. And there were a lot of moments when I would ask myself, why am I doing this? And not, oh, why am I doing this? Because this ministry is hard for this church. It's just the conversations I'd have with the kids. And I remember I had one student who, they were just going through a really hard time and they were really confrontational and they would like cuss at me. And we had this big blowing out for one of the rummage sale setups and I had to call her grandma and she was still like cursing at us. And her grandma came and I was so angry. I was so angry. And her grandma came and she was like cursing at her grandma. And I remember turning to her grandma and I meant to like say something very much like, this is what she was doing and this is why she has to go home. But I just started crying. And I don't cry a lot. It takes a lot for me to cry, which is actually funny because it really just takes like puppies or sad movies. But
under something emotional.
But like, right. I don't really cry emotionally. Yeah. And I was racking sobs. And the grandma kind of like looked at me and she like was awkwardly patting my shoulder. And she was like, are you okay? And I just literally went, I just love your granddaughter so much. And just like started crying. And she was like, oh, I understand. And I remember afterwards, I was like, I need to go eat and I need to sit in my car for a second. And I recognized that I just wanted so desperately for her granddaughter to know that we only wanted her here because we loved her and because we wanted the Lord to speak to her and we wanted her to realize that the thoughts that she had in her head about how her life was and loneliness and anxiety and depression and no one loving her and everyone giving up on her wasn't true. And I wanted so badly, and she was really pushing back against what we were trying to do for her. And I was so angry. And I remember thinking, I don't want to do junior high ministry anymore. Mm-hmm. And I stayed for a while. And that was like the thought in my head was just like, I need the kids and the people that I interact with to understand the love of Christ like I understood the love of Christ when I was in a place where I hated everybody and I hated myself and I hated my life. My mom was gone. My dad was sick. My brother was out trying his best to provide. And I felt so stuck and alone and like, this is just going to be my life forever. I'm always going to live in this trailer park, taking care of my dad, never doing anything, never getting married. No one's ever going to love me. I'm never going to have anything I want. And it was really the love of people that broke through the hardness in my heart coming to the youth venture, which we're recording in right now. And I just desperately want the people around me to experience that. Now, sometimes I can be a little pushy. I want them to experience it so much that I can be a little bit aggressive and assertive. But I think that's my why.
That's a huge one. You want other people to have what you got when you needed it so desperately.
Yeah, and I think there's like that big metaphor. If you have the cure for cancer, wouldn't you want to share it with people? And I think that we have the answer to wholeness and to fulfillment and to joy in the midst of circumstance, and everybody should know about it.
Yeah. I wonder about it, and the why has to be big enough for you to get past the inconvenience mm-hmm. and to get past the cost of what it takes. It says that Christ saw the cross, but he saw the victory that was on the other side of the cross. So he did that for us. And I know for me, when I am forgiving, like if somebody's irritating me, somebody's very, very inconvenient, I think about how much I have been forgiven of. And the fact that the Bible actually says, if you don't forgive, you're not going to get forgiven.
Yep.
And I don't think that's necessarily about our salvation. Oh, there's the sin that doesn't happen. But I think it blocks it, that yeah. unforgiveness.
It's not like God goes, oh, I'm not going to forgive you. Mm-hmm. It's that you're not able to accept it.
Yeah. And I think that that same messiness that I think we're seeing people coming to the Lord, they're bringing all this baggage with them because that's how we all were.
Right.
We have to think back to who was that person. So much of the time when we're interviewing somebody, we talk about, think about the grandma that was praying for the kid. Think about the person who was giving those rides to Lasard girls back when they weren't the Lessard girls then. What was that? Okay, so not Lessard or Steckler.
Shaw.
Shaw, thank you.
You're welcome.
The Shaw girls, that's right. See yourself in the story and be that person that other people were for you. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And so we've talked about, hey, if you've drifted off, come back, return to your first love with the Lord, spend that time with him. And that why I think will come from your time with mm-hmm. Jesus.
100%.
I think it'll be a light bulb for that. The other part of it, and we've talked about it in probably the last four sessions, but it's about that boldness and not just to be bold, to step into a situation, even though it might be confrontational, but yeah. to be bold in your love. If you're a servant evangelist, if you're invitational, if you're relational, be bold in it.
It's time to be strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way that he made you, I think that's the reactivation. I think that's the recommissioning. I think that's the sending.
Yes.
That is what we're looking for.
Yeah. I like the part you put in our little show notes thing that said everyday situations where boldness could reemerge naturally. When I thought about that phrase, I thought about what does my personal everyday look like? I spend a lot of time walking places and visiting coffee shops sometimes and being out in community because I pretend that I'm a tourist living in San Diego. And so I spend a lot of time doing things in San Diego, even though I live here, as if I were a tourist because I live in San Diego. And some of the things that I try to do to unintentionally offer conversation is I wear things that have to do with Christ. So like I have this shirt I'm wearing. It says Faith Over Fear. I have another one that says God's plans are worth the wait. I have a sweater that I literally got the sweater because it just says in Jesus' name and I wanted it to be super bold so that when I wear it, it's like no doubt. I have another one that says Jesus is King. And this wasn't a conversation where the person wasn't a Christian, but it was just interesting because I was wearing my Faith Over Fear shirt at the air show and someone behind me was like, oh, I like your shirt. What does it mean? Like, are you a Christian? And then that person was a Christian too. And I've had a lot of people, like, I'll walk at places like Ocean Beach. I love Ocean Beach, but it's, like, one of the most hippie struck places. And I'll wear these shirts. And as far as everyday situations, I feel like I'm hoping that someone will see it and be like, oh, cool shirt. Or even say something like, that shirt sucks. And then I can turn around and yeah. be like, let's have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
I feel like for me, I get the like anxiety flutter because I don't know how the conversation is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do also feel a sense of the boldness coming back because even though I'm not standing on a street corner with a megaphone, I feel like even in just what I'm wearing, it's shouting something that I yeah. believe in. It's shouting something that some people see as controversial, like to wear something that says in Jesus' name or Jesus yeah. is King. And then I intentionally like walk circles around the Jehovah's Witness stands to see if they want to have a conversation. But I think that for me, those are situations that ignites that boldness and going places where I know the people that are working there or that are there are going to see it and it's going to be in their face and it's going to be in big, bold letters and they can't get away from it and they're going to have thoughts about it. I think that that kind of are situations that reignite boldness yeah. for
I
me.
Have one that says equip the saints from the rock. I get so many questions on that. Mm-hmm. It opens the doors. That's pretty much a Christian ease slogan, equip the saints, but I get non-Christians that ask me, what does it mean? Equip how? Yeah. And then that opens instantly a conversation. So
yeah, I think clothing
is neat, but the Foothill sticker on the back of my car does it too. I get a lot of people.
Yeah, your Foothill sticker. I have a For God So Loved San Diego hat that people like will see a lot. I also think that it's important what we do when it feels so weird in my head. I just keep thinking of like someone that's fishing. I mean, the Bible says fishers of men, but I think of someone that's casting out a line and drawing somebody in. And now that we have the person in, it's like, now
pick a card, any card, just one.
Yeah. It's like, what do we do with it? And I think that's when we go to the Lord and be like, Lord, now I have this person in front of me. And now what?
Now what do I do?
Yeah. Now what do I do? And so I was thinking about that. And then I know it's like a weird shift, but I was also thinking about the next thing you put on this, Kevin, that says fuel for the long run, and it's about being in community.
Yeah, and you know, I'll jump in on that one because that one does resonate with me. One of the things that I do that keeps me sharp an iron sharpening iron with one of my buddies, like Parker Kiefer.
Shout out, Parker.
We will challenge each other in a really positive way. Like, okay, so we're going to pray for a person every single day, or given the opportunity, that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And the conversations kind of go like, hey, I really believe in the power of prayer. What can I pray for you? Out on the trail, like I've told everybody, there's only like one person that said no ever out on the trail. Asking that question, Parker's most recent.
And he was running the other way.
Yeah, run away! And Parker's saying, you know what? It talks about testifying that you're a Christian. Given the opportunity, and hopefully is once a day, tell somebody you're a Christian. Now, there's a few different ways to do that. And one of them is to say, you know, I'm a Christian. And I really, and once again, you could be praying for him because mm-hmm. a lot of people will let you pray for him. But one of the things that Sandy Zolman and I did is, if you could ask God any question, what would it be? And we did a big thing at church on it. We actually took those, we videotaped those questions and said, now at church, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have them up there. You're invited. Here's an invitation. What would you ask God if you could ask him anything? Mm-hmm. And there were some standard questions, but then there was also some people that just broke down. Like, why did my mom die? Mm-hmm. Or big general questions like, why is there evil in the world? And things like that. So for me, that would be being in a community with people that will spur you on to, mm-hmm. to good works. You know, these good works, and if you look at them the right way, Jesus is already there. He's already set this up, and he's called you into those good works. Sharing Jesus with people is a very good work.
Yeah.
And he's calling you to it way uniquely. I've got this shirt that Sylvia almost forbids me to wear, and it was during The Chosen, and it was Come and See. But the print is so big that it doesn't even fit on the shirt, and it's Come and See. And so that shirt will get attention. First of all, she says it's just not fashionable. That's Sylvia. But it's so crazy bold, you can't even fit it all on one. And people are going like, what is that?
Come and see what?
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked, right? And so that's what it does. It opens up that conversation. So community, I think, not only can it spur you on to your style of sharing Jesus, but it can also keep you in what we talked about last week about being in the rhythms mm-hmm. of walking with the Lord.
Yeah.
So community is crazy important.
And I think that it also, I think you also feel more comfortable sometimes doing stuff with other people around.
Yeah.
I remember way back when in March, when we do like our month of just kind of like evangelism, you were saying something, Kevin, and I don't know, I think I like adopted it for a little while. I need to get back to doing it. But you were saying that you, when you go out to places and eat, you'll ask the waiter.
People. Yeah, the waitress.
Sure. Or the waitress, like, what, can I pray for you for something? And I remember a couple of times for like a couple months afterwards, I would do that when I was like with my friends and stuff. And I want to get back to it, but it just, I felt like more bold to do it when I was like with a table of friends who love the Lord. And I think that once one of us said it, the other people would be like, oh yeah, like that, yeah, what is, like, what do you want prayer for, you know, things like that. And so even just like in that sense, like encouraging each other. I remember when I was in high school, we would do a lot of like outreach type evangelism, and I would always feel so much more comfortable when it was like me and friends. And one time we like went throughout Parkway Plaza. And
we used to get thrown out of Parkway Plaza all the time.
Yeah, we went throughout Parkway Plaza and we would literally just go up to store owners and be like, hi, I'm a high schooler. We're going around asking people if they need prayer for anything. Just like random store and kiosk members. And I felt so much more empowered with my friends around me. And not to say that like you always have to do that with people around you, but there was something about being in a group of people that understood what I was doing and understood the importance of it. And in the event that the store owner is like, no, you're weird, I could go back to them and they'd be like, you know, good job, you did your best. Like, even if they didn't want you like to pray for them, like you did what the Lord has called you to do. I think that was like really helpful for me when it came to like being bold.
That is such a on point example of drifting.
It's great.
You know, like, I used to do this. Why am I not doing this anymore?
It's just so subtle.
Yeah, and if the Holy Spirit is already operating in that situation, then boom. I mean, sometimes it's not that big a deal, and sometimes it's, no, all good, it's cool. But sometimes it is devastatingly cool. It's really incredibly cool.
It's detrimental.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about the person on the other side of the equation who is going through stuff, and a Christian cared enough to do that. I remember being out of town at a conference with Dave, and there was a couple sitting at another table, and I said, Dave, hang on just a second. And I went over and I said, hey, I'm in a class, and I'm supposed to get some answers. We're on break, and I'm going back to get these answers. Have you ever had an answer to prayer? And so the guy tells me something, and then the girl starts arguing with them. They actually get into a fight, and I just kind of go, okay, thanks. I go back to the table with Dave. But it opened up that they were having a spiritual conversation, and they were not agreeing about it, but it was something that wasn't on the table that suddenly was on the table. And I said it with gentleness and respect. Come on, it's 1 Peter 3:15. But it was something where you can ask people those types of questions that aren't brutal. They just open up the opportunity to talk. And we've done that. You know, we consider this podcast a class. Go do that. Go wear something that makes you stand out so that you have to be bold. Stay in community and maybe go out as a community. But the other thing is, go ask people, you know, if you can pray for them, or have they had an answer to prayer? And then shut up and listen. This isn't all like mechanical.
Yeah.
And you know, you're trying to get them. This is, no, really listen, because that is such a powerful tool, is to listen to other people and see what they're truly, truly saying to you.
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with Andy, my husband, last night about the difference between like preaching at people, especially those who have backslidden, preaching at people versus gaining an understanding of the point in people's life in which they backslide. So like a question of like, why are you doing, like, why don't you come back to church, or why don't you whatever, versus asking them like at what point in your life do you feel like you started like drifting away from the Lord, or like what do you feel like happened in your life that was like the cause of you switching your perspective on Jesus or the church or Christianity, and then listening and hearing what they have to say. And you know, that doesn't mean that you're agreeing. It doesn't mean you're like, yeah, you go, girl or boy, but it just means that you're hearing, because it really is like, I feel like people, atheists, agnostics, those who don't love the Lord, those who were like sharing the gospel with, like, they really do have a story. They have reasons why they believe the things they do, reasons why maybe a lot of people like did grow up in church and fell away. There are things that happened, and I feel like we have a chance to hear that and then show them the true gospel and the true love of Jesus, which brings repentance and transformation. That's like the goal, but starts with the hearing and listening.
And I guess that's the point of this whole series, is if people used to walk with the Lord or used to be curious, or you know, maybe they drifted so far away that they never had that relationship with him. But if we get past our drift and get intentional, understand our why, and understand that Jesus said, I am sending you. Mm-hmm. If we get back from our drift, we'll help those people that have drifted.
Yeah.
So if you get off your drift, you help their drift. And
so pray for your waiters.
Yeah.
Your waitresses, your store people.
And tell us about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us these stories. That's another thing about community, is that it can really encourage you when you hear the story of somebody being bold and that the result of that.
And pray. I mean, I think we've probably said it in other terms, but in a really simple phrase, pray for the Lord to help you through your drift. Pray for the Lord to help you in return. Pray for the Lord to reignite your spirit and the fire inside of you. And pray for opportunities, for God to show you opportunities, you know?
Yeah. There we go.